Okay, today's daf is Ayin Tet. We're going to start at Ayin Chet at the bottom at the Mishnah. Okay, refuach them up for the week. David, Avraham, Ben Miriam, Devora, Batina, Oz, Avram, Shimon, Ben Chana, Orly, Pnei, Bar, Rachel, Frida, Chaya, Malka, Esther, Bat, Zippor, Yosef, Ben Rachel, Leah, Bat, Rivka, Yamir, Bat, Chaya, Michal, Elishev, Devora, Bat, Kadima, Yaakov, Ben Rosa, Daphne, Chaya, Bat, Sara, Talia, Rachel, Bat, Tamar, Sara, Lilo, and Ishmael, Chana, Bat, Tatar, Reza, Bat, Sara, Tzvi, Hirsch, Ben Yaakov, Halevi, Umela. Okay, take sheets for today. And, okay. We're starting a new Mishnah. Mishanatam Rishut Lishlucho Lekadesh Bito. Somebody gave Rishut to his Shaliach to betroth his daughter. But at the same time, Halachu Vikidsha. Okay, but he maybe didn't trust that the Shaliach was going to get the job done. And he went and was Mekadesh his daughter by himself.
To somebody else.
To somebody else. So im shelo kadmu, right? Again, you have to remember this in the context of the days where they made shiduchim and all that kind of thing. So it sounds like Shaliach to kind of find someone. It doesn't sound like it was necessarily clear that he was sending the Shaliach. I mean, actually, it's going to be clear from the Gemara that he wasn't sending the Shaliach to betroth a particular person. It was more, he was sending the Shaliach to find a wife. So then he went at the same time, and also, you know, he didn't want to trust the Shaliach 100%, so he went also to take care of it. Im shelo kadmu, so again, obviously it's going to be an issue of who came first, and obviously you can see where this is going to go, right? Im shelo kadmu kidushav kidushin. V'im shel shlucho kadmu kidushav kidushin. Obviously, whoever did the betrothal first, it's obviously the one that's going to be relevant. But the obvious part that's going to be problematic without the days of emails and all that kind of thing, and probably clocks and all that stuff that we rely on very much so today. They may know Yodea, if they have no idea who went first. So, Shneim notznim get. They both have to give a get. V'im ratzu, echad noten get, echad kones. And if they wanted to, one could give a get and one could betroth her. Okay, one could actually marry her, sorry. The assumption is one would give her the get, then the other one would be free to pursue the marriage, you know, after they already got betrothed. So then they'd be able to marry. Now, some of the Mepreshim ask, what do you mean, imratsu? Obviously, they could do this. What would be the issue? So they say, no, it could be an issue because we have this issue with machzir grusha, like marrying someone who is with somebody else in between. So therefore, there might be an issue here. But in this case, since she was a fake mekudesha to either one of them, and there wasn't a vaday kiddushin to the other, it's not an issue. Okay, and obviously, you'd also have to, imratsu, I assume it means you'd have to go with the consent of both of them. Maybe that's also another issue. Okay, now we're going to have the exact case again with the woman being the motivator and not the father. The first case was the father. Here we have Achena Isha, Shenatna Rishut Lishlucha Lekadsha. She gave her Rishut to a Shaliach to betroth her. V'halcha V'kichat Atzma, and at the same time, she went and betrothed herself to somebody. Im shela kadmu kiddushaya kiddushin, right? If she came first, her kiddushin was first, then obviously hers is good. V'im shel shlucha kadmu kiddushav kiddushin. V'im einam yodim, but if they don't know who came first, shneim notnim la get, right? They both give her a get. V'im ratzu, echad noten la get, v'echad kone. So if they wanted to, one could again give her the get, and the other one could actually marry her. Okay, now obviously, even though we know Mishnayot often detail every single case and every possibility, now obviously the Gemara is going to question, well, why did you need to tell us with the father doing it, and why did you need to tell us with the daughter doing it? And the answer is going to be a little, hard to, kind of logic that maybe you could say the other way, and tough to understand exactly where the logic is, let's put it this way. If there's real basis to this logical thinking. Utsricha, you need both cases. Why? Di'iyash me'inan gabei di'dei, if you just had it by the father, what would you have thought? Mishum de'gavra kim lebi'yuchsin. Aval itita de'lo kim lebi'yuchsin, em aloni havi kiddushaya kiddushi. When it comes to a man, men know the yichus of other people. Okay, the first assumption is going to be that the women don't really know who's miyuchas and who's not. Okay, now you could say this is based on the fact that the women were less out of the house and weren't as aware of who everybody was, but it's also a little hard to understand because women gossip all the time and they talk to each other.
Women
and
know.
Yeah, women know. So that's why I said the logic here is a little, problematic to understand why they assume. And I couldn't really find too much discussion about it. why the clear assumption is that men are kimle biyuchsin and women don't really know the yuchsin. So if you would say that men are kimle biyuchsin and women are not, then what might you say? In a case where the woman did the betrothal versus the shaliach doing the betrothal, and they both did it around the same time, we don't know who did it first, we might say, well, she'll defer. Remember, the assumption is they're two different people that she's betrothed to. She'd assume that she'd rather be married to the shaliach. And that's what happened here. She said, go find me a husband. At the same time, she wanted to totally rely on the shaliach, so she went herself. But in the case where the shaliach actually did the betrothal and found somebody, well, she'd much prefer his betrothal because he knows the yichus much better than her own. And that's the working assumption. And therefore, you might have thought that in this case, she'd actually kind of can't, like, she'd, you know, she didn't really, let's put it this way. Different. When she did the kiddushin herself, it was sort of conditioned upon in the event that the shaliach didn't find anybody. Okay? And therefore, you might say, well, as soon as she finds out that she found someone, her kiddushin was not really a kiddushin. So that's, but obviously, the whole, that's what they're telling you, you don't assume this. Okay. Yashmin and gabei dida, what might you have thought? Let's say you just had the woman's case then. What might you have thought? Here is the opposite, okay? But it's not the exact same thing, but mishum de'itita daike uminsiba. Aval iyu emaloach patle. When the woman goes to get married, she's very careful to find a good family. Whereas the husband doesn't care as much. Now, this is very hard to understand because we always have this concept that the woman would rather be married than not be married, and therefore she'll take anything that comes her way. And yet here they're saying that women are very, very machpid on who they marry. They have very high standards. And because their standards are so high, you might think that the woman didn't trust the shaliach herself, right? That's why she, for sure. But when it's the man against his shaliachs, and that, you know, aval iu, you might have said, emaloch patle, he wouldn't really care. So, in the case where his shaliach did it, you know, instead of him, and we weren't sure about the timing, you know, it's not clear that there would be an issue there, whether, you know, that you might have thought there, he might have said, so in the case of the woman where she's very careful and machpid, so she would override the shaliach. I'm sorry. No, because that would be, if we had it in this case, that would be the case where, right, so why would you say the opposite logic? Give me a second. According to this, you would say, if, therefore he would rely more so on the shaliach. In other words, he doesn't care so much. So if the shaliach were to have done it, he doesn't really care. And when he betrothed this woman, he said, just on the off chance that the shaliach didn't find me somebody. Okay, again, the argument here is not the most convincing argument. And like I said, the question isn't even such a great question. Because the Mishnayot often, the whole question is premised on the fact that if we're going to have these two cases, there must be a chiddush in each one. So they kind of struggle to find the chiddush, whereas really the pshat of the Mishnah could just be that the Mishnah wanted to give a list of the different cases. Okay, now we're going to get into, and this is going to take us for a while. You can see the chart here, and it continues on to the second chart, this whole sugya now, till almost the end of the daf. We're going to now have a machloket amoraim between Rav and Shmua about a similar case. Itmar. Itmar is a good structural thing. It means ne'emar, and it's an intro to a machloket amoraim, and it usually works like this. They give you the topic, and then they say, well, he said this, and he said that, and then they say, well, he said this because blah, 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 and he said that because blah, blah, blah. Not always, though. In our case, you're going to see it doesn't go that way, but often it has that extra look. Itmar. Kidsha avia baderech. If her father betroths her while she's on the way, while he's on the path, and she betroths herself in the city, and then it turns out she's already a bogeret. What's a bogeret? Okay, let's go back and review. A bogeret is someone who is 12 years, okay, what happens? At age 12, and simanim, she becomes a nahara. For that six-month period from the moment she sees Simanim and turns 12, she's considered a na'ara, okay? So that period, she's a na'ara. What happens? The father can betroth her still, right? He's still in charge of her. As soon as the 6 months pass, She becomes a bogeret. Once she's a bogeret, the father cannot betroth her anymore. So now, and we've seen cases like this before, where, maybe not this case, but cases you'll see soon, you'll remember, about a mikveh being found out that it's chaser, and when do we assume it happened? And this is a very basic sugya about something, right, is now to be true. How do we know when, how far retroactively do we go? So if it turns out that her father betrothed her and she betrothed herself around the same time, and it turns out she was a bogeret, but we check after, find out she's a bogeret. So the question is going to be, can we assume that she was a bogeret and the father's kiddushin doesn't count? Or do we have to say, well, she's a bogeret now, but the kiddushin might have happened when she was still a nara, and therefore his kiddushin is a good kiddushin. So machloket Rav and Shmuel. Rav amar harehi bogeret lefaneinu. He says, look, now she's a bogeret. We can assume when it happened, she was also a bogeret. And so we're going to go by the chazakah dehashta, the chazakah of right now. Ushmuel amar, chayshina lekidushay shnehem. Shmuel says, no, we have to be choshesh that maybe she wasn't a bogeret when the father betrothed her, and therefore she's suffered mekudeshet to both these guys, and therefore we're going to have her get a divorce from them. Or like in our Mishnah, right? Divorce from one, betroth the other. So now the Gemara questions, when exactly are we talking about in this time period of Na'arut that this is going to happen? Because, right, if we know that Na'arut is based on, okay, so now we're going to learn a little bit more about this Bagrut and Na'arut and the passing of the time. So if it's a six-month period, so we know when the period ends, right? So now we're going to learn, okay, I'll already preface it so that you understand where we're going, that she's really, okay, there's this six-month period. At the end of the 6 months, she's a bogeret no matter what, whether she sees simanim or doesn't see. There's all sorts of simanim listed, okay, besides the two sa'arot, or the siman for her to become a nara, 12 plus two simanim. When she's a bogeret, there's a list in Nida, machloket, in Masechet Nida, we'll get to it, of all the different simanim of what makes her a bogeret. But what happens is this. When she gets to the... So I'll preface it by saying there's a bit of a difference of opinion about how this all works. But I'm going to go... The Meiri had a very clear, concise explanation. I'm going to go by him. If you take the six-month period, so she goes the 6 months. She's an hour out for sure. Then she gets to the last day of the six-month period. Okay? The day after the six-month period is over, she's definitely a bogeret. The day before it's over, she's definitely an hour. That day... It depends on whether she sees simanim or not. If she has those simanim listed in Masechet Nida, then she's a bogeret from the morning. If she doesn't, then she's a bogeret from when the day is over, okay? Or from whenever during that day she sees the simanim. So obviously our issue is going to be, we're going to narrow it down, but we're going to eventually say that the issue is clearly on that last day. That's the suffix. So, Emat, when is this chashash? Ilema betoch shisha, if it's within the 6 months, bahanim arav harehi bogeret lefaneinu, hashtu idbagra. If we're talking about within the 6 month period, then obviously she's not a bogeret. How could Rav possibly say she's a bogeret right now? So we can assume earlier in the 6 month period she was also a bogeret. That doesn't make any sense. Obviously, only today she became a bogeret. Elala har shisha, if you're going to say it's past the 6 months, so Shmuel is going to be difficult. Bahanim Shmuel cheshina lekidushay shnehem. How could Shmuel possibly say we're choshesh for both? Clearly, she's already a bogeret. Bahamar Shmuel, even Shmuel himself said, "Ein bein na'arut lebagrut ela shisha chodeshim bilvad." Okay, there's no difference between na'arut and bagrut except for shisha chodeshim. So what's the answer? Lo tzricha dekadish bahu yoma demashlim shisha. Okay, the case they're talking about, exactly as I said before, where they were Makadesh on the exact day that the 6 months were being finished. Rav Amar Harehi Bogeret Lefaneinu. Midahashta Bogeret, but Safranami Bogeret. Okay, the assumption is if right now, let's say we're in the afternoon. So the assumption is if we see Simanei Bogrut now, it must be that already in the morning she was already a Bogeret. Shmuel Amar, no, Hashta who died to Simanim. Right now we see Simanim. It could be that the Simanim came right now. Okay, so that's their difference of opinion. Now we're going to start, you can already see on the chart where we're going with this. Okay, we're leaving Rav aside for right now. We're going to basically, the structure is going to be like this. We're going to bring two questions on Shmuel from a similar type situation, where again we're going to have a suffix and we're going to say, do we go back or forward, right? How do we look at it? obviously, if we're questioning Shmuel, remember Shmuel says, we're going to be choshesh to both sides, right? We're going to assume that if she sees Simanei Bagrut now, we can't assume that previously she was in the state she is now. Okay? So we're going to bring two different cases. And then, after that, we're going to suggest that maybe Rav and Shmuel is Machloka Tanaim. Okay? Because remember, they're Moraim, and then we're going to say, oh, Tanaim also had the same Machloka, and then we're going to reject that. So, now we're going to start questioning Shmuel. Okay. Ushmuel, maishnami mikva. How is this case different from a mikva case? Ditnan. Mikva, shenimda v'nimtza chaser. A mikva that was measured, and it turns out it's missing. It doesn't have a full arba'im se'ah, right? We all know water evaporates. And kol taharot shenasu agabav lemafrea, bein b'rishud ha'yachid, bein b'rishud ha'rabim tme'ot. Any taharot that were, anything that was toveled in that mikva, whether the mikvah was in Rishud HaYachid or whether it was in Rishud HaRabim, why is that a relevant factor? Who remembers? Okay, this we learned out from the Sota. The Safek Tuma B'Rishud HaYachid. Remember, the Sota is B'Rishud HaYachid, right? She's a Safek. So that's how we're going to always remember which goes which way, because it's hard to think about it otherwise. Safek Tuma B'Rishud HaYachid is Tamei, and Safek Tuma B'Rishud HaRabim is Tahor. Okay, because the Sota is Sefek Tuma, which is obviously in secret, right? She was Berushud Yachid when she was alone with that man. So, or the man she was suspected of being alone with. So now, there's this concept that if we have Sefek Tuma in Berushud Yachid, we're going to go the Chumrah. Okay, we're going to say it's Tameh. But here, what's the Halacha? This clearly isn't Sefek. According to this Mishnah in Mikvaot, if you measure a Mikvah and it's 40 Se'ah, anything that was toveled beforehand from the last time you checked the level of the mikvah is going to be considered tamei. It's vadai. Okay? So now, what does Shmuel say? Shmuel says, this is a sefek case, right? We're going to assume that we don't know. Was it before, right? Do we go by what the status, right? What happens in the mikvah case? We're going by the status of, right? What status are we taking? The status of now. Follow? The status of now is chaser. So therefore, we're going to apply it retroactively. In our case of the marriage, what's the betrothal, she's a bogeret now. If we go by the fact of what she is now as a bogeret, what are we going to say? It's vada kiddushin of the woman and not the man and not the father. And therefore, we're going to assume that she's betrothed to the one guy, and that's it. And Shmuel says, she is chashin on the kiddushay shnehen, and she needs a get. Okay, so therefore, why is he distinguishing between the mikvah case where it's vaday okay, right? Vaday, we're going to say that the status of now goes retroactively, versus the case of the woman where we say the status of now doesn't go retroactive. Okay, so now we're going to make a distinction. And then we're going to question the distinction, and we're going to have a back and forth, as you can see from the chart. Okay, and eventually we're going to end up with an answer, which I'll already clue you in into the fact that when we bring up the next question, ultimately we're also going to get to the same answer there. Shane hatam de'ika lemeimar. Okay, now one thing I didn't bring up yet, which is what right now we're talking about, what's the status of the object now, and can we assume because it's got, we call it chazakah dehashta, it's muhzak right now as something. Okay? We can say, it's like that, it was like that before. But now we're going to talk about, we've talked about chazakah in general. Okay, so when it comes to the mikvah, what's the issue of chazakah here? Okay, and we saw this previously, that if you talk about this, if you want to say we go by its chazakah, right? So what do we say? Shane hatam de'ika lemeimar ha'amei tameh al chezkato. Ve'emer lo taval. It's not that we're going by the chazakah by the mikvah. We're going by the chazakah of whatever was toveled. And whatever was tovel was bechezkat tameh. So we're going to say we have no idea what the status of the mikvah is. It's not that we're saying the mikvah status goes retroactive, what the chazakah now is going back. We're saying that we don't know anything about the mikvah status, so we're just going to take the object itself and say that the object itself is going to stay in its status. The object was tameh. We tried to tovel it. We have no idea whether the tefillah worked or not. So we're going to say, keep the tameh where it was. Okay? There's no sefek tuma. There was vadai tuma. The object was vadai tame. We have no idea if it was nitar or not. So therefore, keep it as in its chazaka. Ve'emer lo tavel, and just assume it never was tovel. So then they say, why are you assuming that we're going to go by the chazaka of, this is the question now, why are you assuming go by the chazaka of the object? Why don't we go by the chazaka of the mikvah? Adraba, ha'amei mikvah al chazkato ve'emro lo chaser. Right? We can say the mikvah, now forget about the chazaka dehashta. What was the last chazaka, right? We've always talked about this with Eshadish, she's b'chazkat Eshadish, or she's b'chazkat Pnuyah. Go by what her original status is. The last time we checked the mikveh, it was good. So even though we check it now and it's no good, why don't we say, keep the mikveh in the status it was before. Assume that the chazaka of being kasher stays kol od that we don't know that it was, that it wasn't good, right? So now, they're playing with chazakot. In other words, number one, on which object is it going to go? Is it going on the object that was dipped in the mikveh, or is it going on the mikveh itself? And even if it goes on the mikveh itself, we don't know, does it go on the chazaka that originally was, or does it go on the chazaka of now? So you can see this is a big, right, confusion here. So now they say, harei chaser lefanecha. You can't say, assume the mikveh was in its original chazaka status, because right now it clearly isn't. So there is no, it breaks the chazaka. You can't say, oh, it had a chazaka before, and now it, you know, because now it doesn't have a chazaka. So clearly we know that at some point in time in between, you know, let's say it was 3 weeks ago and today, in between that time, clearly it changed status. So therefore, you can't assume the original chazaka stands because clearly something changed at some point. So now they say, hachanami. So why don't we say the same thing about this girl? Hare bogeret lefanecha. Here you see that she right now is a bogeret. And last time we checked her, she wasn't a bogeret. So again, why don't we assume, like Shmuel said, right, that hare bogeret, I'm sorry, right, hare bogeret lefanecha. And therefore, this is again Shmuel, right? Why don't we say hare bogeret lefanecha? We see that she's right in front of us now, and we're going to go by the chazaka dehashta. Just like, right, what do we say with the mikvah? With the mikvah, we should say chaser lefanecha. It's forget the original chazaka. Now it's bad. We should assume it's bad. So again, and that would explain why, and as that was all coming to explain, why in the mikvah case do we assume it's no good? Because we're going to say it goes by the chazaka dehashta. So if it goes by the chazaka dehashta, so again, we're left with our question on Shmuel. If it goes by the chazaka dehashta, so why does Shmuel say, right now this girl's a bogeret, so why does he say, we're choshashim, that maybe she wasn't a bogeret before? So now what are they going to answer? Hashtuhu debagra, right? We can assume that just right now she became a bogeret. So they say, what kind of an answer is that? Hatam nami, hashtuhu dechaser. Again, you could just flip that logic on your other case and say, maybe the mikvah right now became chaser. So now here we get to our final answer after all the ping pong. Hatam tarti l'reuta, hacha chada l'reuta. In the mikvah case, it has two things working against it. Number one, it's chaser right now, which is not a good thing, which would match the bogeret. She's a bogeret right now, which should assume that she's a bogeret and she was a bogeret before. But she has only one issue. There, what do they have? They have, number one, it's chaser right now. Number two, we have ha'amed tameh al chazkato. We have the object. So if we take those two together, the object is tameh, and the mikvah is chaser right now, that's going to tell us that it's vaday tameh. But when it comes to the woman, we can't assume that because she's a bogeret now, we're going to go by her status now and assume that her status now was also her status previously. Because she's only got one indicator, which is that right now she's a bogeret, and therefore Shmuel can answer up, I can distinguish between the mikvah case and this case. So remember this answer and back and forth, and if you didn't get it 100%, we're going to have a very similar back and forth with the next sugya. Ushmuel maishna michavit. Okay, here we're going to have a case of a barrel of wine. Ditanya haya bodeket hachavit lahafrish alea truma v'holech v'achar kach nimtzeit chometz. What happens? He has a chavit. But let's say, okay, let's take a good example. He's got a big barrel with 98 log of wine, and he's got a little barrel with 2 log of wine. So what is he going to say? Or let's say he has a little barrel of 10 log of wine. So he's going to say every time he's got a big barrel of 98, he's going to say, oh, I'm going to take 2 log in my head. I'm going to think about those 2 log and that big barrel of wine. And every time he has like a thing of 98, he's going to say, oh, 2 log from that barrel is going to be my truma. It's going to make equal 100, and then I'll take 1/50th, which is 2 out of 100, and that'll be my truma. So in his head, he says, from this little barrel, I'm mafresh truma on this big barrel, and he just leaves it there, and he doesn't take the truma and give it to the kohen yet. Either, let's say, it's the case where he's waiting till it gets up to 10, and he has, let's say, 5 barrels of 98. So every time he's got another new barrel of 98, he says another tulok from there, another tulok. It's like his designated truma. Okay? That's what it means. Lafrish ala truma v'holech. He's mafrish from that on his truma, and then he goes and drinks his wine, because his wine is fixed now. But what happens? When he goes to give the truma to the kohen, when he checks it at some point, he finds out that it's chometz. Now, chometz and wine are two different types of things, and you can't be mafrish one type, right? People who have fruit trees know that when you're mafrish truma, you have to be mafrish from each object. You can't say, oh, my lemons are going to go on my oranges. Right? You have, for each mean, you have to do something different, and chometz is not wine. So, kol gimel yamim vadai. Okay, we're going to explain what this means in a minute. Mikan va'elach safek. Okay. I'm going to go, there's a lot of different interpretations of what this means exactly. I'll go with one, which is the assumption is that 3 days before, before something actually becomes vinegar, it already starts spoiling. So 3 days before, it must have started spoiling. In which case, as soon as it started spoiling, you already can't use it to be mafresh on your truma. So if I find it on Sunday, so we go back 3 days. If I had taken truma on some barrel within those 3 days, it's vadai no good. Okay, again, like I said, there's different interpretations of how to read these three. I mean, but let's just go with that. But mikam va'elach, but any time before those 3 days, it's safek. Ureminan chavit amikvah. Now, we haven't yet gotten to our question on Shmuel. Now, the rabbis asked a question from chavit to mikvah. What did we say in the mikveh case? It was vadai tameh, right? Once we find it's 40 and it's less than 40 se'ah, we go back and say everything was a problem. And in this case with the truma, we don't say everything's a problem. We say 3 days back is a problem. But before that, safek. Okay, it's a problem because it's safek, but it's not vadai. In that case, it was vadai. So how did they resolve this contradiction? Remember, we still haven't gotten to how this relates to Shmuel. V'amar Rav Chanina misuria, man tana chavi, Rabbi Shimon hi, degabe mikva nami sveika mishave. Okay, now we're going to learn that this chavi braita goes like Rabbi Shimon, and not like the Tana of the Mishnah mikvao. And how do we know? Because we see that Rabbi Shimon, okay, what was the whole question? Why is it safek by chavid and vada by mikvah? Now we're going to learn, oh, by mikvah it's also safek. Because Rabbi Shimon holds that by mikvah it's safek. Okay, how do we know? Ditanya, kol tarot shenasua gabav lemafrea, bein birushit yachid, bein birushit arbim, we're obviously talking about the mikvah case. Tmei ot, that's Tanakama, that's the opinion we saw in the Mishnah mikvah. Bi Rabbi Shimon omer, birushit arabim tohorot, birushit arabim tolim. Right? Here we have it. Like our suffix that I mentioned before, right? If you have a suffix tumah b'rishut yachid, it's going to be tameh. And if you have a suffix tumah b'rishut rabim, it's going to be tahor. Right? So in b'rishut yachid, tolin, right? We're toleh, meaning we're going to, right? We have to see because it's suffix. Okay? So now what do you see? According to Rabbi Shimon, it's suffix. But now take the chavi case. So the chavi case, what did we say? It's suffix. Why is it suffix? Because it's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So what would Chachamim say in the Chavi case? They'd say it's Vadai. Vadai Tameh. Right? You follow? Because if Rabbi Shimon and Tanakama and Chachamim have this machloka by mikvah, they obviously also have this machloka by Chavi. They obviously do because that's what Rabbi Chanina says. That's his whole svara. His svara is that they have the same machloka there. Therefore, what are we going to assume? Avala Rabbanan, teva lemafrea. In other words, according to Rabbanan, this barrel of wine, okay, that we thought is truma, turns out it's tevel. It's something that's never been mufrash trumoto masrot. According to Chachamim, it's vadai problem, right? Except for, right, if we went back, right, in other words, the last time we checked it, we knew it was good, so then it worked for that. But past there, it's no good.
It doesn't exactly match Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't have that 3 day, like, wouldn't he say that it's...
So the 3 day is vaday. Everyone will agree the 3 days vaday. Vaday a problem because everybody knows, and as again, depending on which interpretation you choose, but they all work out. You take my interpretation I brought, it's that 3 days before we know for sure, 100%, there's no doubt about it at all. Everybody would agree. 3 days before it's already mitkalkel, because it takes 3 days for the process to turn to vinegar, and therefore from that day, there's no doubt at all. The only doubt is when we don't know at what point it started to turn. We don't know, was it before the 3 days it started to turn or not? Exactly like the mikvah. Okay, so this case has an additional, but that's irrelevant to our discussion right now.
Also, can we see in this masechet a machloket about mikvah?
Yes.
Coming out,
yes, we did see a machloket about it. I actually was very surprised that they don't mention it at all. Here they're ignoring that machloket, yeah. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't have a good answer to that. It could be that this is the basic opinion that we hold by, and because of that, they just brought this opinion. Mm-hmm. But we did see a machloket about this. Okay, so now, aval rabban and it's tevel lemafreah. So now, what's going to be our question on Rabbi Shimon, on Shmuel? Our question on Shmuel is, right, if we're going to assume by the chavit, it's exactly like we had before. By the chavit, what's the case? Right now, right? Right now, what's its status? Right now, it's tevel. So therefore, we're going to assume it was Tevel way back when, right? And all the way back to the last time we checked it. So therefore, and yet Shmuel says, right now she's a Bogeret, but we're not going to go retroactively about the Bogeret. So, what's the difference? Shanei Hatam de'ika lemeimer ha'amei Tevel al chezkato ve'emra lo nitkan. Again, what can we say here? The Tevel goes by its, you know, what was the original state of this wine? This wine was Tevel. The chazakah of this wine was that we hadn't taken truma or masrot from it, right? And it wasn't, right? In this case, it wasn't truma, right? It was tevel. So we're going to just assume that it's still in its same tevel status, just like we said with the mikvah, right? We're going to assume ha'amed tameh al chazkato, what we dipped, and just assume that it was never toveled. So same thing here. Take all your tevel that you thought you were mafresh truma or masrot from this barrel and assume that we didn't do anything to it. Okay, and therefore it goes by the original chazak. So they say, no, adraba, ha made yayin al cheskatova emra lo hichmitz. Again, we're going to say, well, who's to say the chazakah we're going by is by the tevel status? Why don't we assume the chazakah is by the fact that it was wine and the wine didn't spoil? So they say you can't go by that chazakah because that chazakah clearly changed. Ha re hichmitz lefanecha. Now we know it changed, so we know it broke the chazakah because we know at some point it changed status and we just don't know when. They say, ah, same thing about the girl. She also changed status. Hachanami, harehi bogeret lefanenu. So we know she changed status at some point, so why are we assuming that, like Shmuel says, that you could only assume she became a bogeret right now? So they say, hashju debagra. No, you can assume she only became a bogeret now. So they say, if that's the case, hachanami, hashju deichmitz. We could say the same thing about the chometz. It only right now became vinegar. So again, they're going to answer like they did before. Ha tam tarti l'reuta, ha chacha l'reuta, hu de'ika. In our case, right, there's only one thing going against her, which is, right, there's only that she turned to a bogeret at some point. But therefore, you can't say, we're going to say, assume she was a bogeret earlier. But in that case, what do we have? Number one, it had a chazaka, it was tevel. Number two, it now, at some point, it changed. So because of those two chazakot, we're going to assume that we can go by the original chazaka and say that this is tevel. And say that the chazaka of now really happened earlier. Okay, so we've asked two questions on Shmuel. We've answered them up in the same way. Now we're going to suggest that it's a machloka tana'im also, not just a machloka rav and Shmuel. Neima kitanai, mi motzi miyab mi. Okay, that's a very good question, right? We have no idea what they're talking about. So, what's the case here? It's a case in Baba Batra. Okay, you can look at Rashi for a second. Hakotev nechasav la'achirim v'lo shir klum. We've seen this case before. Somebody writes all of his property to other people. He gives away all his money, leaves himself nothing. And what's the issue? Then he says, wait, I never meant to do that. I was sick, right? I was going to die. I thought I was going to die. And because I thought I was going to die, so, you know, I just gave away all my money. But now I didn't die, and I lived, and I obviously want my money back. So now what's the problem? If it's clear the guy was a shchiv meira, then clearly he only meant it because he was about to die, even if he didn't say so, right? We assume. Matnat shchiv mera, okay? If he's giving away his money, but then he lives, if he's giving away his money because he's on his deathbed, and then he lives, well, we're going to assume that he didn't mean it if he actually survives. But what if the guy right now is healthy, and we don't know whether he was sick when he said it, or he wasn't sick when he said it? So who can take it out of who? So what does this mean? Hu motzi mi adam belo ra'aya. Okay, he can, let's say he gave away the money. Okay, let's say I gave my money away to everybody at this table. And then I say, you know what? I survived, and I want my money back. So you now have it in your hands. Now, generally, what do we say? Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. But what do we say here? I can take it out of your hands without proof that I was sick then. Because it's just obvious that I must have been sick then. Vehein emotzi miado belo raya. But unless they can prove that I wasn't sick, okay, you would have to prove that I was sick. If I'm holding the money still and I haven't given it to you, and you say, but you told me you were going to give me your money, you would have to prove that I was healthy at the time. Tivri Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Natan Omer, im barihu alav lahavi raya shaya shchiv mera. Vim shchiv mera hu alehem lahavi raya shebarihu. What does Rabbi Natan says? It depends what his status is now. If he's bari now, then he has to prove that he was a shchiv mera. Okay? He disagrees. He says, what does he say? It goes by the chazaka of now. If you're bari now, then if I gave you all my money and I'm healthy, I have to prove, if I want to take it out of your hands, that I was sick then. Vim shchiv merahu, and if I'm sick right now, and you claim when I said it and gave away all my money, I was healthy, well, you have to bring proof that I was healthy. So now, how are we going to match these up? So, Neimar Rav de Amar Rabbi Natan, Ushmuel de Amar Rabbi Yaakov. Right? Rav is going to say like Rabbi Natan, which is it goes by the chazaka of now. Harehi bogeret. Right? And we're going to go by now and assume that what she is now is what she was before. So if I'm bari now, then I was bari before. If I'm shchiv mera now, then we're assuming I was shchiv mera before. Shmuel d'amar k'Rabbi Yaakov, and Shmuel says, "No, your chazakav now doesn't prove anything." Okay, and therefore he's going to hold the same, you know, in both. So now we're going to reject this and say, "No, no, no, these two cases are incomparable." Amar l'cha Rav, Rav could say like this. What could he say? Ana d'amre afilu k'Rabbi Yaakov. I can also agree with Rabbi Yaakov. Okay, that the I have right. I is the person who gave away all my money. Gets to be the one who's at the upper hand. Why? Because ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yaakov hatam di'i kalamemar ha'meb mamon al cheskato. Aval hachan, why did Rabbi Yaakov say that? Because he said, you can say ha'meb mamon al cheskato. We can assume I was a shchiv mera and keep the money where it was originally. In other words, yes, the money might be in your hands right now, but the money originally was mine. So that's a chazaka, which is interesting. Generally, we say, "Motzi mechaveru alav haraya." But even if you have the money, we can still say, since we don't know what my status was at the time, we say we go back to what it was earlier, and the money was mine. Aval hacha mi nema ha'amei guf al chazkato. But you can't say, assume that what she was then, she still is now. Okay? Because we know her status is changing. Right? Whereas with the person, we don't necessarily know. You know, it's not necessarily the status is going to change, and we have this chezkat mamon. There's no real chezkat goof with the woman, because there the mamon is chazaka, it's the chazaka, the money was in his hands. Here, we knew something was supposed to change, like her body was changing. Ushmuel amar, ana de amre afilu le Rabbi Natan. Now, Shmuel says, I could even explain according to Rabbi Natan, right, who says what? That whatever his status is now, that's what we assume was. Even though Shmuel here doesn't say whatever her status now is, right? So why? He'd say, I distinguish between the two cases. Why? Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Natan hatam de kule alma b'chez kabriim kaime man de kama fig nafsha mechazaka havi alei l'ituye raya. When it comes to a person, we assume most people are chez kabriim. So anyone who wants to say otherwise has to prove it. Okay, so im barihu, right? Alav laviraya. So Rabbi Natan said, im barihu alav laviraya shaya shchiv mera, and im shchiv mera hu alav laviraya shabari haya. So in other words, if he's bari, he's got to bring proof that he's a shchiv mera because we have a chazaka that most people are healthy. Okay? And therefore, that's why you'd have to bring proof. Aval hacha, mi kamaf kanafshe mechazaka dekaima? So, but here in this case, is she taking herself out of a general klal that most women are na'arot, right, and not bogrot? In other words, there is no such concept of rov brim when it comes to the woman. Okay, so therefore, we can't say it's a machloka tana'im. Now they're going to suggest another machloka tana'im, and this is going to be, interestingly enough, the tana'im say exactly what Rav and Shmuel say. Here we have the exact machloka. It's not like we're taking a different machloka. We're taking the exact machloka that appears in the Tanaimic sources. Let's see. Neima kahane tana'im. Kidsha via baderech, v'kidsha atzma be'ir, exactly the case they were talking about, right? The father betrothed her on the derech, then she at the same time betrothed herself in the city. V'harei bogeret, and now it turns out she's a bogeret. So tanechada harei bogeret lefanenu, v'tanya ida chayshina lekidushay shnehem. Ah, and there happened to be two brightot about this case. One says she's a bogeret now, and we can assume she was a bogeret earlier, and the father's kiddushin is not valid. And the other says, no, we're choshesh for both of them. So here, what do you see? The two brightot exactly match the machloket Rav and Shmuel. Oh, that seems pretty clear cut, which is a basic problem, because Rav and Shmuel should not be arguing about something the Tanaim argued about, right? If they were, they'd say, I hold like that guy, and I hold like that guy, right? It doesn't make any sense that they would be having a machloket as if we created this machloket when the machloket existed before. So how does the Gemara answer? So first they say, my lav chag ke Rav, chag ke Shmuel. Doesn't it seem like this is Rav and this is Shmuel? So they answer lo. Idi v'idi ke Shmuel. They both agree with Shmuel that really, in our case that we've been discussing, she's safek mekudeshet to both. But each braita here is talking about a different scenario. Okay? Even though it didn't say so, what's the scenario? The father claims, obviously, that his kiddushin was valid, okay? Because he says, my daughter wasn't a bogeret. So now, the question is, does the daughter deny the claim or not? Kam b'makashato. If she denies the claim, then we believe her, and we assume that her bogeret status was from the morning, and therefore she's not betrothed to the second guy. But kam b'she'ein makashato. But if she doesn't deny it, then we're going to hold like, right, we're going to say she's suffic betrothed to both. Okay?
They should go and ask her, which is radical.
Right, but they would go and ask her is,
find
right,
out.
They would actually ask her, yes. Venema, okay, so now, if we're going to say that there's this distinction here between cases, scenarios, why don't we say, venema, midematnita lo plige, emorai nami lo plige. Why don't we say that maybe we misunderstood the whole machloka of Rav and Shmuel? Maybe Rav and Shmuel aren't arguing about the same case. Maybe their breakdown also breaks down that Rav was talking about if she denies the claim, and Shmuel was talking about if she doesn't deny the claim. So now they're going to prove why not. V'tiz b'ra, do you really think that's the case? Ha Rav Yosef, b'reid Rav Menashe midvil, okay, Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Menashe from Tvil, avad uvda kavate de Rav. He had a case where he paskin like Rav and said the woman's betrothed just to the second guy, you know, the guy she got betrothed to. V'ikpit Shmuel, and Shmuel got very upset. So now it's clear that there's a machloket, right? V'amar kule alma, here, Shmuel was so upset, this is what he said. Kule alma kaile b'kaba zuta, v'ata midirabanan kaile b'kaba rabba. What do you think? That everybody got a certain ounce ounce of wisdom, and you got way more than everybody else, that you can go poskening like the way you're poskening? Okay? Obviously, he was insulting the guy, that, why do you think you're so smart, that you're going against me? V'isalkadatach lo plige, and if you want to say lo plige, it was just a difference of scenario and not an issue of opinion, amai kamakpid, right? So now, right, Dilma ki avaduvda b'machashto. Maybe the case was where she denied the claim. Okay, so therefore, it doesn't make any, right, obviously, he is arguing about not scenario, but actually, you know, who possibly, like, they actually have a machlok and a psak. Amar le marzutra le Rav Ashi, hachi amar amemar, hilchata kavate de Shmuel, v'Rav Ashi amar hilchata kavate de Rav. So now it breaks down. He holds like Shmuel, he holds like Rav, v'hilchata kavate de Rav, and we paskin like Rav. Okay. I'm going to just start the next Mishnah, and we'll end at the end of the Mishnah, okay? It'll be our intro to Demara. Mi shiatza huvi ishto l'medinat hayam, uba huvi ishto banav, v'amar. Okay, they go to Medinat Hayam. So we're assuming everybody knew they were married. they go abroad, they come back, right? This happens all the time now, right? They come back and they've got children. It didn't exist before. Va'amar, the guy comes back and says, Isha sheyatzati mi lemedinat hayam harei hizo. Okay, this is the wife that I left with. Okay, the assumption is people don't necessarily recognize her. I don't know why. Ve'elu vaneha, maybe because the women were in the house all the time, so people didn't see them on the streets. I don't know. And these are her sons. These are, right? These sons belong to her. Ein sarich lavi raya lo ala isha velo ala banim. Okay, you can follow this in the chart also. He doesn't have to prove anything about the woman and not about the children. If the assumption was he left bechazkat, he was married to her, they were legitimately married, and they came back with children, we can assume these are their children, and nobody needs proof of anything. Meta, if she died there though, and he comes back with children, now you see where they're going. Ve'elu baneha, and these are sons from that woman. He doesn't have to prove that he was actually married to the woman because everybody knows that, but he has to bring proof that these are children from that woman. Next case. He left single and he comes back and he says, I married a woman when I was abroad. This is her. So now what's the issue? He has to prove that her lineage is okay. So but once he proves about the woman, that's enough to assume the children come from this woman. Ve'ein tzarich lavi raya labanim. Meita ve'elu baneha, if we say he comes back, he left single, he comes back with just children and no wife.
And his second wife, so he says.
What?
His second wife. So he must have had a first wife.
No, that might be the question.
Sorry, did I understand it wrong? One second.
Shashi
at Sati Bilu, yeah.
Third one.
Meitav, maybe right on me. You're saying the whole second case, maybe I forgot this. The whole second case is where he had two wives in Medina Hayam. That's what you're saying?
That's
he returns with another, as he went with a wife. He didn't go single?
No.
Is that the case?
No, yeah. He returns with a second wife and says, I'm
not
her.
No, here it says he came without a wife. No.
Really?
He went without a wife. At least it says here, the Meiri says that. He went without a wife and came back with a wife and kids. And then...
Maybe
right.
The
and then he's saying, I don't know, maybe we'll get to that. But right now, the assumption is that he went single. He comes back with a wife and kids. So he has to bring proof that the wife is his. Once he brings, that's enough for the kids. But if he comes back without a wife and just kids and says she died, so he has to bring, what does he need to bring proof? Both. Yeah. Okay? Now, the assumption of this, we're going to see in the Gemara right away, is that the kids call her mommy. In other words, we're going to see about the second wife because they're going to say, well, maybe there was a different, and the whole question is, maybe there was a second wife.
Right.
And then the whole question is going to be, if let's say there was a second wife, okay? The working assumption of this Mishnah is, if the kids call her mommy, then she's their mom. But if there was a second wife, possibly, then and she died, and they, again, when the wife's not there, so there's a separate issue. But if they call her mommy, right, maybe there's a question that maybe they're calling her mommy because she's their adoptive mom, she's taking care of them. So we'll see. But right now, the assumption is if the woman's there and the kids call her mommy, then the assumption is that she's their mom. Now, obviously, it's going to be a question of at what age. In other words, because maybe, like, older kids can fake it, right? They can just pretend. But younger kids, we always know, little kids are the most honest, and we can tell by their actions about their honesty. All right, we'll get into more tomorrow. We'll see about the second wife and where she fits in, about if there's a suffix, if there's another wife or not. Okay. So.
Yeah.